I'm thankful for His goodness and His grace. You got a copy of the Word of God. I invite you to turn with us one more time. The New Testament, the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And we're going to conclude this epistle tonight with the help of the Lord and finish up this study as we've been able to look at these letters in which that Peter wrote unto some churches that were scattered across Asia Minor. Let's stand in honor and reverence tonight. I want to preach to you on this thought, actual Christian Academy. And I mean by that word actual, what's true? What's real? What is the church truly to be focused on, especially in the days and times in which we live? I believe we ought to be an academic powerhouse, amen, that we might be able to know intellectually and through experience what it means to live for Jesus. The Bible says there in verse number 15, chapter 3, 2 Peter, the Bible says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. His desire, as I've already stated, was Peter's thought that there's a lot of wrong in the churches that were scattered there across Asia Minor. Now, there's a whole lot of right, but there's also a little bit of wrong. And my friend, if we ain't careful, we'll fall into that same category. We'll fall into that same mess that so many other churches have fell into. Heard a preacher make reference to just the other day. He said, you know, even in the midst of independent fundamental Baptist churches, sound doctrinally churches, it wouldn't take but just one wrong pastor to come in. He said there's enough left wing in every church that if the right pastor had come in, he could lead that church down the wrong road. He could lead that church away from fundamental Bible believing doctrine that we need to base our church upon. Therefore, we, my friend, need to be aware. We, my friend, need to be on guard. As Peter was writing here unto these churches that were scattered across Asia Minor, he wanted to make three, distinct truths here in this closing passage of this epistle. First of all, we see the admonition of the Scriptures. The admonition of the Scriptures. What's Peter pleading that we might do? Well, in verse 15, the Bible says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. My friend, we need not never lose sight of what God's main goal is. We need never lose sight of what God's main purpose is as He works in and through the church of an Almighty God. It is that sinners might be born again. It's that lost people might come to a knowledge of their sin and their separation from an Almighty God, that they realize that their sin debt is going to send them to a place of eternal misery in the lake of fire called hell if they don't get their heart right, if they don't get their souls saved, if they don't get their sin under the blood. The Bible says there, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That account means to consider, to deem, to think to be so. That the long-suffering of our Lord. Now, long-suffering speaks of patience. Now, I don't know about you, there's sometimes I've got the patience of Job, and sometimes I ain't got much patience at all. It sometimes depends on how much I've had to eat or whether I've had my caffeine in the morning as to how much patience I truly have. Each and every one of us have been there. But I'm here to tell you what, my God is a long-suffering God. My God has great endurance. My God has great long-suffering. My God has great patience. As we think about that, the Bible says there that in verse number 15 it says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. We need to remind ourselves that's what the Bible says there. in verse number 9, where the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's desire is that every person that's born upon this earth would have a change of mind. And through that change of mind, which is repentance, a true repentant heart acknowledging that the only way they can find right standing in the eyes of an almighty holy God is to be born again, to be washed in the blood, to have their sins forgiven. And the Bible tells us and teaches us here that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We find that the Bible says there in verse 15 that we need to know, we need to think constantly, we need to be in consideration tonight that God is patiently enduring that one more sinner might get saved. When's Jesus coming back, preacher? Hey, whenever the church roll gets full, that's when Jesus is coming back. Only God knows the day. Only God knows the hour. Only God knows the soul in which that is the last one to be born again before Jesus comes back in all His beauty and all His splendor to rapture up and catch up the church and take them home to be with Him while He rains down wrath upon this earth. My friend, God's desire for the church tonight is to realize that the admonition of the Scriptures is that we need to tell somebody that Jesus loves them and that Jesus' desire is to save them. That's what our goal is. I believe so many times some churches get so caught up that they feel like they're in a competition with the church down the road. And they've got to get a taller steeple. They've got to get a wider building. They've got to get a bigger preacher. They've got to get a better carpet. They've got to improve their facilities. And my friend, we're beginning to lose the focus. My friend, I believe God's desire is that we would be a minded church concentrated on seeing souls saved. And that we'd give forth and send forth the gospel light through our word and through our teaching and through the missionaries in whom we support. My friend, we need to be focused on the salvation of souls. The Bible says there in verse 15, an account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. My friend, God's desire is to deliver and to rescue a lost and dying world. Made reference to it this morning in the cemetery. What Arthur Pink's definition of salvation is, he says it's fourfold. First of all, God saves us from the penalty of sin. That's justification. And my friend, God's saving us from the power of sin. He's saving us from the pleasures of sin. And one day, praise God, He's going to save us from the presence of sin. But my friend, we need to be mindful of what God's desire is that we'd send forth the gospel light. The Bible says there in verse 15, it says, "Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." We find that these folks were knew who Paul was. Even though Paul by this time had written every epistle he was going to write, he had probably already died that martyr's death in which he was destined to die. But nevertheless, these folks had heard of Paul. They had read about Paul. They knew who Paul was and the life that Paul had lived. But they also knew that God had His hand upon them and that God had done a great work in and through Paul. And the same Paul that used to be Saul, hey, they got changed because he got born again on that Damascus road. They knew that if God could do a work like that through Paul, that He could also do that same work through a lost sinner there across Asia Minor. And my friend, we need to realize as to whom that Paul was. Paul was admonishing folks through the Scriptures that they need to be saved. The Bible tells us there in verse number 15, it says, "Even as our beloved brother Paul." Hey, Peter had a great desire. He had a great love for old Paul. Hey, Paul was a dear friend. Paul was probably one of his favorite friends. Paul was one that was worthy of his love. And we find here that he says there in verse number 15, "Also according to the wisdom given unto him." Paul was a man that had great wisdom. And wisdom speaks of that which is broad and full of intelligence. Now, a lot of times we undermine ourselves as to just exactly how smart we are because we think that we've got to have a certain degree of education to be considered in that wise group. We think we've got to have some type of diploma or certificate or a license upon the wall before we can consider ourselves part of that wise crowd. Let me tell you something. Even though Paul had a great education, even though Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest Hebrew scholars of that day and time, he was brought up upright. He was brought up to be a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And yes, he had great intellect. But my friend, the greatest wisdom that Paul received might not have been seated at the feet of Galileo, but it was seated at the feet of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through prayer and supplication, seeking out the face of God. My friend, the Bible tells us here in verse 15 that he had wisdom. That wisdom speaks of abroad and full of intelligence. But it also speaks of varied knowledge of things human and things divine that are required by acuteness and experience. My granddaddy always says you can't beat education through experience. And my friend, I'm a firm believer in that. Hey, you can read about it in a book. You can study it through some type of a guide. You can get out the instructions. But until you actually put hands on, it's hard to know everything about the ins and outs of a certain situation. I want to remind you tonight that God's gave us the manual. God's given us the instruction book. God's given us the roadmap that we hold in our hand tonight. But it's when we take the Word of God and put faith with it and put our trust and our belief in the Word of God that God will help us to receive the experience and the education we need to be wise students in the family of God. My friend, as we come to God's house, I hope you didn't come to ride slides. I hope you didn't come to eat hot dogs. Hey, all those things are fun. All those things are enjoyable. But my friend, we need to be focused on the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, that we might learn something here tonight that we can go back out in the lost and dying world and live before the lost man the love of God that God wants to share unto them and tell them truthfully, straightforward, what they need to hear. And the Bible tells us here in verse 15, teaches us here about the admonition of the Scriptures. It says, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you. Paul's desire was to admonish them. Paul's desire was urging them and beckoning them to have a greater grasp upon the mysterious things of an Almighty God. So we see an admonition of the Scriptures. But we also see in verse 16 and 17 an application of the schooling. Oh yeah, God's desire is that we might get schooled. Now that term is used a lot of times amongst our younger crowd. They say, boy, that ball team really took to school and now they got schooled. And they use that sometimes loosely. And it means that they had a learning experience. And my friend, that's what church ought to be about. Amen. Hey, we ought to come to church with a great desire to learn about an Almighty God. That might love a minute, wretched old sinner like me. That He sent His only Son, begotten Son, unique Son, to die for their sin. My friend, we need to learn about these things. The Bible tells us here in verse number 16, it says, as also in all His epistles, every letter He wrote, every letter that He wrote that churches received, that communities received, that people groups received, it says there in verse 16, as also in all His epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, He began with salvation, and we know the book of Romans and the book of Ephesians deals greatly with salvation. It deals in depth with salvation and all the ins and outs of a condemned man, one that's condemned to a devil's hell because they're a sinner. But then it begins to teach and admonish the teachings of justification and how one can be declared righteous by the grace of an Almighty God. Teaches us about that sanctification process. Teaches us that one day we're going to be glorified. And we see that a lot of folks in that day and time, especially those of Jewish descent, could not figure out why God would want to include some group of people like the Gentile dogs as being a part of God's heritage and a part of God's family. That was a great mystery. But my friend Paul wasn't scared of it. Paul wasn't, he didn't back down from it. Hey, there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of teachers nowadays. Hey, they'll run into a hard passage of Scripture and instead of just seeking the gospel, will plow deeper in the furrow. They'll dodge to the left. They'll dodge to the right. I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to apply the schooling of the Word of God and just keep on plowing. Amen. Hey, we need to be people that desire to understand the deep things of God. Hey, it's good to be freshly born into a family. And we see that whenever a young child is brought into a family, that young child could not exist lost, that young child could not survive unless a family loved it, unless a family clothed it, unless a family gave it everything that it needed to be able to grow and to prosper. And that ain't no different than somebody that gets born in the family of God. Hey, they need to be brought up. Hey, they need to be taught. Hey, they need to be learned as to what's right and what's wrong if they're going to survive in this whole world in which we live. So we see here that there needs to be an application of the schooling. The Bible says there in verse 16, in which are some things hard to be understood. Hey, sometimes you don't understand everything he's wrote in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11. Hey, there's some deep things there. Hey, Brother Johnny Tiller, who teaches New Testament at Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute, he used these verses here in the book of 2 Peter to acknowledge that he felt like Paul was the real author of the book of Hebrews, because there's so many things within that one book that's so hard and so complicated to truly understand. But yet Peter here says, I believe in Brother Paul. I acknowledge Brother Paul. I say that he was the one that wrote these things that are sometimes hard to be understood. But look what it says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. My friend, that one that the Bible says is unlearned is none other than the word ignorant. And my friend, there's a lot of people in churches today that are ignorant of the deep things of God. And my friend, the Bible says here that they rest. It says there are those that are unlearned and unstable. Unlearned means ignorant. Unstable means unsteadfast. They're not fixed. They're not tied down. They're not bowed down. They're not firm in their teaching. They're not grounded. Sometimes it deals with their, deals with their dedication. Amen. Hey, we need to teach young Christians in the family of God. Those, when they get saved, hey, you better watch out. Satan's going to come at you with double barrels. He's going to hit you from both sides. Hey, you need to get in church. Need to get fixed in church. Need to get grounded in a church. Hey, that you might grow and that you might learn. That you might be able to mature in the family of an Almighty God. The Bible tells us right there that if you don't do that, you'll be unlearned and unstable. And then, therefore, it says that you will rest. That rest literally means to torture. It is described in old times as one that's been put to the rack. It's described unto us as one who tortures the language in a false sense. Hey, there's a lot of people, instead of really dealing with what a text has to say, instead of saying what it says and backing it up with Scripture, let me tell you something. The Bible will never contradict itself. There's not one passage of Scripture that contradicts another. Hey, it all works intertwined, flowing directly the way that God wants it to flow. Somebody might say, well, I don't understand that. That seems to me like it contradicts itself. I want to tell you, God never contradicted Himself. He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's God. I'm glad I've got a God that's bigger in my mind. I'm glad I've got a God that's bigger in who I can understand. I'm glad that He's in control. And I'm glad He's my Father. I'm glad I'm His. The Bible tells us here in verse number 16, it says there, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest, as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. I'll tell you what, there's some cults and some people groups and some Baptist churches that'll take a passage of Scripture or a verse of Scripture and they'll swap a couple of words. They'll twist it here and twist it there and they'll make it say what they want to say instead of what God says. Hey, we need to be on guard. Amen. All the way you know that is if you've been to school. All the way you know that is if you get in the almighty academy of a holy God firmly planted and fixed and settled, not desiring to be moved, but my friend, just focusing upon what God would have us to learn. The Bible says there, as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. But the sad thing about it is that the false teacher does not die. He does not go down alone. But he's going to take everybody he can with him. He's going to lead everybody he can astray with him. That destruction that it's described of right there speaks of a perishing. It speaks of eternal ruin, which consists of an eternal misery in a lake of fire called hell. My friend, we need to remind ourselves that we need not lead people astray. Need to be mindful that we need to be learned and schooled and taught in the deep things of God. Hey, that we might know when somebody's telling the truth and when they're not. Hey, if I'm not here and somebody's filling this pulpit, hey, even if I am here, hey, we need to be firmly grounded and hold that man accountable. You need to hold me accountable that what I teach and preach in this church is right. We need to hold Brother Andy accountable. We need to hold Brother Curtis. Anybody that stands and teaches in this church, need to hold them accountable that what they're saying is right and that it's grounded in the Word of God. Hey, there's an application of the schooling. The Bible says in verse 17, He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before," He says, "beware." Hey, we've been taught now. We've done been to school. We've had a lesson here. And what He says is, now that you know the truth, now that you know, you beloved of God, that one that's received the grace and the kindness and the goodness of an Almighty God, He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before," He says, "beware." My friend, we need to beware in the day and time in which we live. That word beware means to keep your guard up. It means to keep watch. It means protect and preserve what we got. Hey, if we don't protect and preserve what we have here at East Alarka, there'll be somebody come along and they'll carry out every kind of wind of doctrine and they'll lead this church astray if we're not grounded firmly and fixed in the teachings and the doctrine of the Word of God. The Bible says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye also, ye know these things before," He says, "beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." That led away means to be carried away with. Carried away with what? The error of the wicked. The error speaks about a mental straying. It speaks about a wrong opinion that's relative to morals and religion. It talks about one that's being led unto a wrong behavior. My friend, we don't need to be led astray. We need to be led in the right way. Being taught firmly and grounded in the Scriptures of God. The Bible tells us there in verse 17, it says, being led away with the error of the wicked. That wicked is one who breaks through the restraint of law and gratifies his own lust. He don't care what God has to say. All he's concerned about might be packing his billfold, padding his pockets. Hey, there's a lot of people that are like that out there. Those that desire to gratify their own lust. And Timothy gives great warning there in his epistles, or Paul gives great warning, rather, unto Timothy there in that first epistle as to who might fall in line of being a false prophet. So we find we need to be on guard. Find we need to have an admonition of the Scriptures. Find we need to have an application of the schooling. Why? The Bible says there in verse number 17, lest ye also fall from your own steadfastness. That falling speaks of a falling down from a place or a position. And it speaks of that steadfastness. My friend, God's desire is that we would be steadfast. That steadfast speaks about a firm condition of the mind. God wants each and every one of us to be firm in our belief, to be grounded and settled in what we believe as Christians, as Bible-believing, God-fearing, born-again, blood-washed saints of an Almighty God. We need to be grounded, rooted in what we believe. And my friend, if we're not, you'll fall. Hey, you'll fall from that position. You'll fall from that placement. You'll fall from where you're at unless you keep your eyes upon God. And beware that there's somebody out there lurking wanting to destroy our church. So we see here the actual Christian Academy has an admonition of the Scriptures. It has an application of the schooling. But it also has an ambition of the studious. My friend, we all ought to desire to be studious in the family of God. We all ought to desire. Hey, we ought not be satisfied with just knowing what we know. Amen. There's a lot of people that are just satisfied just right where they're at. I want to remind you, if you ain't moving forward, you're moving backward. If you ain't for Jesus, you're against Him. My friend, we need to be people that are walking in the right path, desiring to be led in the right way, wanting to learn greater of the knowledge of God. The Bible says here in verse 18, He says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Hey, we ought to be growing. We ought to be fruitful. We ought to be prospering. That growing speaks of an increase. It speaks of becoming greater. It speaks ultimately of inward Christian growth. God don't want you to be settled where you're at. God don't want you to be satisfied with what you are. God wants you to grow in grace and knowledge. And I'll tell you what, that's the only way we can grow. Hey, that knowledge of which that He's talking about is that deeper, more perfect, enlarged knowledge such as belong to the more advanced. God wants us to be in-depth Christians. God wants us to be... Hey, I believe that some people are satisfied about walking into the waters of God and getting about ankle deep, and that's all they want to get wet. Hey, they don't want to get no deeper. Some are satisfied with stepping on them, maybe up to about their knees. My friend, we need to be people that desire to just get out there up about waist deep, shoulder deep. Maybe even just get out there and swim in the knowledge of an Almighty God. God wants us to continue to have an appetite and a desire to learn the Word of God. He says there, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, my God is a balanced God. He ain't going to teach you no more than what you can handle. He don't want you to back up from knowing what you already know. He wants you to grow in grace and knowledge. My friend, you will not prosper as a Christian with just receiving the grace of God. You also got to have the Scripture and the knowledge of God. But let me tell you something. You know everything there is in the Bible. Hey, and I don't believe there's anybody that truly knows that until they get a glorified mind. Hey, you know as much as you possibly can know about the Bible, but without the grace of God, it ain't to no effect. Well, I tell you what we need to do is we need to say, God, it's my desire to know You. It's my desire to have a greater understanding of who that You are. But it's also, God, it's my desire that I be full of grace. God, it's my desire that I be able to receive the grace and the gift of unmerited favor because I know it's Your grace that affords joy. I know it's Your grace that affords pleasure. I know it's Your grace that brings satisfaction. God, I know it's Your grace that helps me through the hard times. God, I know it's by Your grace that You enable me to stand up and to witness. Brother Curtis, I believe it's by God's grace that we're in that jail, dang honor. It don't matter if you're sheriff or not. I believe it's by God's grace that we have been afforded the opportunity to go and to share the Scriptures and then just give them the knowledge. My friend, you know that grace and knowledge it is something that can bring great prosperity unto you and I in the family of God. I'm not talking about material prosperity, but I'm talking about souls added to the roll of the kingdom of God because we desire to be schooled in the school of knowledge and grace. The Bible tells us there we ought to grow. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, we ought to learn more about Him. He's the only one that's worth learning about. Amen. He's the only one that's worth knowing anything about. Hey, we can learn all the U.S. history we want. Hey, we can learn all the economic prosperity teachings and tools that we can know and maybe make it on Wall Street. But if you don't know Jesus, it ain't worth nothing. Hey, we ought to desire to grow. An ambition of the students. Hey, we as the students in the family and the academy of God ought to have a desire to learn. Ought to be our ambition to grow. Then the Bible says in verse 18, it says, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. My friend, our ambition ought to be to give God glory. Everywhere we go, we ought to give Him glory. Everywhere, every word we say, every time we are in a place, we ought to be desiring to bring glory unto Him. What is glory, preacher? Glory speaks of a good opinion that's resulting in praise and honor of an Almighty God. My friend, we ought to be given a good opinion of Him. Somebody brags upon you, brag upon Him. Somebody brags upon your family and your youngins, brag upon Him. Somebody brags upon the things you have, brag upon Him. Somebody brags upon the work you do, brag upon Him. My friend, you will not go wrong bragging upon an Almighty God because He truly deserves the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen. Bible says amen. That means so be it. Everything that Peter has said up to here, he confirms it and says, so be it. My friend, if Peter would confirm it, so should we. Is God truly your schoolmaster? Do you have a desire and an appetite to grow in the family of God? Or are you just getting by? Or are you just here out of habit, here out of routine, been doing it for years, preacher, going to do it from years on? Or is that your mind, is that your thought process, or are you here to learn? God's desire is that we might learn, that we might know Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.